Welcome everybody to reconvene the council meeting for today. Would you call the roll, please?
Fritz?
Here.
Fish?
Here.
Saltzman?
Here.
Novick?
Here.
Hales?
Here. Welcome, everyone. We have a single item on the council calendar this afternoon. We'll start that in a moment. Just a couple of ground rules. If you're here representing an organization, you need to let us know that under our lobbying rules. If you're here representing yourself, you need only give us your name when you testify. We typically try to hold testimony to 2 minutes per person when it's in a large hearing like this, and we have a lot of people, so try to be brief and to the point just so that we can hear everybody. And speaking of hearing everybody, we certainly don't have any problem with people indicating their support or opposition to their fellow citizen with a thumbs up or a thumbs down or some other gesture like that, but we ask that we not have vocal demonstrations in the council chamber in favor or against our fellow citizens' point of view so that they can express that point of view without feeling intimidated. So that's it in terms of ground rules. Would you please read the item?
Item 194, direct the Office of Management and Finance to amend the city fair wage policy so workers affected by it receive $15 per hour pay.
Thank you. So let me make a couple comments and turn it over to Commissioner Saltzman to do likewise, and other council members may have opening comments as well. This is an opportunity, I think, for us as a city to do what we can with what we have where we are. Where we are is a city where the economy is doing really well. Unemployment is down. Job creation is up. Average household income is even up. But for a lot of our fellow citizens, that's not the case. And in fact, there's a recent study that I keep citing to people that show that poverty has actually gotten more concentrated in Portland over the last 30 years rather than less. So the national problems of income inequality and of really two economies, we see very much here in Portland as well. The cost of living here in Portland is going up in no small part because of a pretty substantial increase in the cost of housing. And that, in fact, a number of studies say that people need to make at least $15 an hour to just be able to keep up with those kinds of costs of living here in Portland. So that's why folks like the National Low Income Housing Coalition and the Alliance for a Just Society have supported this kind of public policy, because they see what's happening to the cost of just getting by. So we think that this is a good place for us as a city to make a stand and to make a start. We know that there are a lot of workers who won't be affected by this first step that we're taking as a city. And we know that there are more steps that we want to take, particularly to deal with our seasonal and part-time workers as well. But what we can do, we think, with the funds that we have available as a city now is go this far, and that is to pay our own workers and our direct contractors at least $15 an hour and then be ready to move on down that road as our resources allow us to do that. So that's the theory behind my support for this and my co-sponsorship of it with Commissioner Saltzman. I'll turn it over to you, Dan, for your thoughts as well.
Well, thank you, Mayor, and thank you all for being here today on this very important issue of raising the minimum wage for working people. As we all know, and we will hear more about shortly, $15 an hour is being recognized now as the wage floor for all U.S. workers, and it's where the climb out of a low-wage reality begins. Over the past 2 years, I've listened and participated in many discussions and with citizens and activists regarding living wages and pay equity, and this hearing and accompanying resolution is a step at making sure your voices are being heard and that we are going to be taking some action in our upcoming budget. I've enjoyed working with those at 15 Now PDX, and I thank you for your passion and advocacy on this matter. And while this resolution before the City Council today doesn't raise the minimum wage for all Portlanders, it is a reasonable first step that can be accomplished over the next year, and as the Mayor said, within the resources we reasonably have to raise people's wages. I'm struck by a testimony of a woman 2 weeks ago when she was actually in an exchange with Commissioner Fish about building heights. But she said she was talking about her past activism in New York City, and she said, you know, you do what you can do. And that's what we're asking. That's what I'm asking my colleagues here today to do, is do what we can do, and that is to take a good, solid first step towards raising the standard of living and the money in the pocket of many of our hardworking contract employees, security, janitorial, and parking attendants. So specifically, this resolution directs that our Human Resources Department to adjust the implementation of City Code Section 3.99, otherwise known as the Fair Wage Policy, to make certain workers under formal contracts with the city receive, at a minimum, $15 an hour. And as I said, for the most part, they work at our city-owned facilities, providing janitorial, security services, and parking services. It also directs the staff to make certain all full-time employees within the city of Portland make a minimum of $15 an hour. So, Mayor, I'd now like to invite up our one invited panel, a four-person panel, to address council, and then we can open up the public testimony. So I'd now like to invite up Justin Norton Kirsten of $15 Now PDX. Saw a lot of Justin on the campaign trail last year. Mary King, a retired PSU economist. Sarah Kowaleski, who is with Portland Parks and Recreation. And last but certainly not least, City Hall's own Mark Jeffries. Thank you all for being here. And why don't we start with Justin and work our way down.
So thank you for the opportunity to make this presentation before the council. I'm Justin, representative of 15 Now PDX. We want to thank Commissioner Saltzman for calling this hearing, Commissioner Saltzman and Mayor Hales for their leadership on this issue. We'd like to thank your recognition that $15 an hour is the bare minimum that a working person here in Portland and in the state of Oregon needs in order to not only get by but to thrive and support their family. We also would like to thank Commissioner Fritz for her staunch advocacy for more full-time union jobs with benefits within the Parks Department. It's a laudable goal, and we fully support that goal. And look forward to working with Commissioner Fritz and the council to make that happen. We support the mayor's proposal and the resolution before the council today, but we see it as a work in progress. The fair wage policy was first adopted back in 1998 thanks to a hard-fought campaign by Jobs with Justice. When first adopted, the policy provided a minimum wage of $8 per hour plus an additional $1.50 minimum for benefits to security guards, janitors, parking lot attendants, and other workers at companies that contract with the city. Today, the policy's minimum wage is $10.32 per hour, plus an additional $1.98 for benefits. This is not a living wage.
Say that again, please.
Yes, $1.92 for benefits, $10.32 for benefits, and $10.32 in wage, $1.98 in benefits.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Okay. So this is not a living wage. So we applaud the mayor's announcement to move on this and raise the fair wage policy to 15 for contract workers. But we need to ensure that it's $15 in wages, not total compensation. While benefits like health insurance are important, workers cannot pay their rent or buy their groceries with these benefits. So we need to ensure not only that workers have the benefits that they need, but that they have the $15 in wages that they need to get by. We also strongly urge the council to include in the revised fair wage policy our proposal for a citizen review committee with representatives from the labor community. This committee will be tasked with ensuring companies who contract with the city comply with the fair wage policy and actually pay their employees $15 per hour. We also support the proposal by Mayor Hales to bring all permanent full-time city workers in Portland up to a $15 minimum wage. And we applaud the mayor for going this step further than just the fair wage policy. But while we support raising the minimum wage to 15 for any workers, we also emphatically fight for 15 for all workers. While supporting the mayor's proposal, we have to recognize that it leaves behind some 2,000 of the city's employees who need a raise to 15 the most, so-called casual parks workers. These workers already receive less than full-time hours and don't have any benefits. If anyone needs 15 now, it's them. Multnomah County has taken the lead by implementing a $15 minimum wage for all county employees, and we need our city council here in Portland to be real leaders on this issue and dedicate itself to implementing 15 for all city workers. We call on the council to form a contingent worker task force not just to assess the appropriate level of compensation for these casual workers, but to create and implement a concrete plan for creating more full-time jobs that would be covered under the currently proposed $15 minimum wage for city workers, to redefine casual to be more accurate and limited in its use, and to raise the minimum wage for all city workers to 15, regardless of their classification or the number of hours that they work. For too long, the city has relied on this so-called casual contingent workforce, particularly within the Parks Department. Without having to pay decent wages, full-time hours, or benefits, the city leaves thousands of its employees behind and living in poverty. No one who works should live in poverty, and our tax dollars should not be used to pay poverty wages. All the other departments in the city have benefited from this unethical over-reliance on a low-wage contingent workforce within the Parks Department. Commissioner Fritz has been working hard to try and end that by creating more full-time jobs. We have been working hard to try and raise wages. It's time that the City Council and the city finally work together to make both happen. Thank you.
Thank you. Yep. Oh, please, folks. Hands. Welcome.
Thank you. Mayor Hales, City Commissioners, I'm Mary King. I'm a labor economist and professor emerita at Portland State Economics Department, and I very much appreciate the opportunity to address you today on an extremely important topic, city wage policy. As you know, nationally, our minimum wage policy is a disgrace. The federal minimum wage hit its peak value in 1968 at $1.60 an hour. That's the equivalent of nearly $11 an hour now. In Oregon, we feel pretty good to have a minimum wage of 9 1/4, but that's only 85% of what the federal minimum was 50 years ago, adjusted for inflation. Low-wage Americans earned considerably more in 1968, even though our GDP per capita was just over half of today's, again adjusted for inflation. So as a nation, we're nearly twice as wealthy per person as we were 50 years ago, but our federal minimum wage is much less as a direct result of national policy. And our nation is worse off for it. We suffer more inequality, more poverty, more homelessness, more despair. And locally, we have the ability to do something about it. The city of Portland plays a critical role in our economy as an employer, as a steward of our tax dollars, as a public expression of our values, and as a model for sustainable economic policies. We can set a much-needed floor to hold up wages and living standards for families in the community. One of the terrible outcomes of low pay is child homelessness. The Oregon Department of Education recently reported that more than 10% of the students in the Reynolds District lack a permanent home, and that's the case for more than 1,200 students in the Portland Public School District. You may have seen the recent PSU study by Sheila Martin and Elizabeth Moorhead, titled Where Ends Don't Meet in 2014, Measuring Poverty and Self-Sufficiency Among Oregon's Families. The report shows that $15 an hour is not quite sufficient to keep a parent and two kids in Multnomah County from having to rely on public subsidies, even if both kids are in school and the family has no child care expenses. One adult, a teenager, and another school-aged child need at least $16.50 an hour full-time, year-round, to live independently. So $15 an hour is by no means extravagant for the positions covered by Portland's fair wage policy or really for any city worker. What's more, there's a cold-blooded economic case for employers to pay higher wages than they have to. There's a payoff to employers who pay relatively higher wages, or the term economists use is who pay efficiency wages. Employers gain from employee loyalty and willingness to work harder and be more productive, as well as from lower turnover with its reduced recruiting, hiring, and training costs. All of us in the community benefit from higher wages at the bottom. It's not an accident that the higher wage states and nations are the most prosperous. Higher wages at the bottom give kids the security they need to succeed and join the mainstream. Local businesses prosper when families have enough to keep up with their rent and other expenses. People who earn less than $15 an hour have to spend nearly every penny they make, and that money is spent locally. For all these reasons, I strongly support the City of Portland in this initiative to amend our fair wage policy to set a new wage floor of $15 an hour, and I very much look forward to our ability to extend that to all Portland workers. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mayor Hales, commissioners, and members of the public whom I serve. My name is Sarah Kovaleski. I moved to Portland about 5 years ago out of love for its green spaces and awards-winning park system. I now feel lucky enough to work for Portland Parks and Rec at Multnomah Arts Center, where I have worked for the last 5 years. At Multnomah Arts Center, I found a niche coordinating arts workshops. I also book our community's important life events, weddings, anniversaries, birthdays. I approve scholarships and make spending decisions for my center. I am also one of the so-called seasonal or casual employees. I ration my 1,200 hours year-round, and like many others, I am living in poverty. I am counted on by my supervisors, one of whom is here today. But what I did not count on in my years of service is that I would struggle to feed myself. I currently depend on food stamps, and I have sought the help of food pantries more than a couple times. My student loans are also in deferment. I come to you today because what I see is a budget problem with a human cost. The cost is that there are two types of rec workers system-wide doing the same job, coordinating programs, approving scholarships, and making staffing decisions. One type of rec worker is hour-capped, low-wage, and a casual employee. The other type of rec worker is full-time with a fair wage and generous benefits. I fall into the first category, and my case is hardly the worst. I agree with your desire, Commissioner Fritz, to reward workers who have shown commitment and service with full-time jobs. However, we can't run rec or contract services with full-time positions alone. What we could and should do is convert casual jobs to permanent, stable positions with a living wage. A minimum of 15 or higher for all workers, whether full-time or part-time. I suggest this as I aspire for the best, most functional rec system, a place where I can continue to serve my community, a place where our programs and the employees behind them can flourish. I support 15 now, and it's call for 15 for contract workers, city workers, and ideally, all workers. To paraphrase State Senator Chip Shields, who supports 15, we are asking for 15 because we want a chance and not charity.
Thank you very much. Mark, welcome.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mayor Hales and commissioners. My name is Mark Jeffries, and I'm a janitor here at Portland City Hall and a member of the Service Employees International Union Local 49. I've been working here for close to 3.5 years and for PHC Northwest for over 12 years. I'm proud of the work my coworker and I do, and we appreciate the support and recognition we receive from the people here. This afternoon, I want to voice my support for a $15 an hour minimum wage increase for the city workers and contractors. I know of janitors with large families who struggle to make ends meet. We janitors work physically demanding jobs and should be compensated accordingly. With the extra income, my wife and I can choose to put more money towards retirement. A $15 an hour wage would help with maintenance and unexpected repair costs, such as the recent work performed on our car that cost us over $2,000. Extra income could also be used to help offset our contributions to our daughter's community college education. My daughter is employed and rents an apartment, and my wife has an office job in the private sector, and our combined income allows us to get by all right. However, we would have had strong financial challenges without the city's commitment to using a union contractor and our union standing up for working families. So along with my coworkers, union members, and city employees, I look forward to this beneficial wage increase. Thank you for listening to me on this important issue.
Thank you.
Thank you all for being here. Colleagues, I'd just like to bring to your attention again what Sarah Kozloff
Kovaleski.
Thank you, Kovaleski said. she would not be covered by this policy. And when she met with me along with other 15 now supporters in my office, I asked, wouldn't she prefer to have a full-time job with benefits? And she said, well, of course, but this is the first step. And I want us all to remember Ms. Kovleski, who is on food stamps. She is our city employee. And we need to make sure that we do right by our city employees as well as by everybody else that we employ. So thank you all for your testimony. It's really helpful.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Frazier.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, let's take public.
Actually, I have questions.
Questions? Sure, go ahead.
The amendments
probably ought to come up soon, too. So
yes. So the ordinance title is to receive $15 per hour pay. Is it the sponsor's intent that the pay would be $15 and then benefits on top of that?
I think that's the correct answer, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And do we have an estimate for how much that would cost?
I think we do. Who do we have here from the budget office? I think it's someone coming up. There's Andrew. Come on up, Andrew. Yeah.
Do we have any representatives from OMF?
OMF, not yet here.
Okay.
I'm going to have questions for you too,
okay,
Ms. Cameron.
Come on up,
thank
Anna.
You.
Come on up.
OMF did the costing. That's the only reason why I would invite them up. So I'm Andrew Scott, City Budget Director. And again, the costing was done by OMF, but you know the estimate right now for the policy as written is between $1 million and $1.1 million. The bulk of that is for the contract employees, and then a smaller amount for the city workers. So
it's less than $50,000 for the city workers, right?
The estimate for just the pay alone for the city workers who are currently on payroll is about $47,000. We do have a number of positions that are vacant that haven't been filled yet, so that cost could actually go up as we fill those positions. And then the other piece of it that's very difficult to estimate is whether there'll be any increased cost due to compression in some of those classifications. So.
Right.
But
so,
just base-wise of the people who are in that right now in that we have on payroll, it is about $47,000.
Right. So it's about $1 million for the contracted workers, about less than $100,000 for the city workers. And I just want to explain what you just said for those who might be watching at home about compression. So we try very hard in the city to pay fair wages for equal work. And so if somebody is currently at $12 an hour and somebody else is at $14 an hour, with this policy, do we pay both $15 an hour or do we pay the second one $17 an hour? That's a question I have for the sponsor as to whether that's factored into the $1.1 million estimate.
It's factored into the overall estimate of the cost for current city employees because, again, if the positions were filled, there was kind of a ballpark of anywhere between $60,000 to $90,000, $100,000, but it's very much a ballpark.
So it's factored in for the city, but we're not for the contracts. We don't know as far as compression in the contracts.
What Bryant would have to answer that question. I don't know for the contracts that the city has, but we did in the estimate from the budget office of going up to $100,000 for city employees only. That does include a guesstimate on compression.
Okay. And before I leave budget, remind us all, Andrew, how much do we have in ongoing funding in the upcoming budget discussion?
The current forecast is $4.6 million ongoing.
4.6.
And that forecast will be updated in April when we have new business license and inflation numbers.
Okay, thank you.
I'm Brian Inch.
Turn your microphone.
Brian Inch with the Office of Management and Finance. And Commissioner Fritz, at this time, we have not included the estimate in terms of the compression. We believe that the contract would have to be negotiated with the union, and so we have not anticipated in terms of what the compression cost would be.
So at this point, we're looking at a minimum of $1.1 million.
Correct.
Thank you. Then, Ms. Kanwit, in the resolution as written, there's an item that asks you to set a work plan to develop for assessing seasonal work and the appropriate level of compensation. When do you think you might be able to start such a task force?
And I'm sorry, I failed to introduce myself the first time around. Anna Kanwit, I'm the director of the Bureau of Human Resources. We could put together the task force to put together a work plan within the next few months. The concern I had, and this was a discussion I had with Commissioner Saltzman's office, in terms of actually implementing that plan and doing the assessment the plan envisions, I don't currently have the staff to do that because we have another major compensation project that we're working on. The plan, you know, we would start on relatively soon and have to council for review, but implementation of that plan, to be really honest about it, I don't think we could really start that for a year or so.
Thank you. Does anybody else have any questions for this panel?
On this
and then
issue.
I'll have some amendments.
Thank you. So you've cost out what this resolution would cost the city, and we've got a range. My understanding is we have contracts with third parties that require them to maintain a floor of under our fair wage policy. So to what extent does this action trigger an obligation of some third party to also raise wages that provides a benefit to employees that we're not paying for directly?
Commissioner Fish, we have just learned that there is an obligation pursuant to an agreement between the city and Clean and Safe, and so we're going to do some additional analysis in terms of what it may mean in terms of both the city.
Could you just, for the record, describe what Clean and Safe is?
Clean and Safe is the group of workers that are that we see in the downtown area that are responsible for keeping our downtown sidewalks clean.
So, in addition to stadium attendance, parking garage security patrol, there's now a fourth category of people who may benefit from this action, and that's Clean and Safe workers.
That's correct.
And what's the nature of our relationship with Clean and Safe?
It's a third-party contract. So basically, my understanding is that these contracts with Clean and Safe, the subcontractors to Clean and Safe, are obligated to, are required to follow the city's fair wage policy.
Okay, both the contractor and the subcontractor?
The subcontractor.
Yeah.
Are any of those positions represented?
Again, I'm not sure. I have to look into that, Commissioner Fish.
Okay. And under your current understanding of those agreements, is that an obligation of us, them, or some combination?
Additional research needs to be done in order for me to answer that that question, Commissioner Fish.
So the good news is this action may end up lifting essentially more boats than we have quantified to date. The question mark is who pays for what?
That's correct.
And are we in the resolution before us, are we binding ourselves in any way to the outcome of that discussion?
I am not.
Does the language of this resolution compel us to resolve that one way or another?
I'm not sure.
I think the resolution is to set the clear signal to everybody who's listening and to everybody who works for the city, this is the direction we want to go. There's going to have to be details fleshed out between now and when we adopt the budget on July 1st.
Yeah, I mean, the resolution directs policy. It doesn't automatically amend contracts.
So I guess since what we're trying to do is fully quantify the scope of beneficiaries and the costs and not have any confusion about who is responsible for those costs, I understand what we're doing is setting the framework, but when do you think you could report back to council on the question of Clean and Safe so we know what the legal issues are and what council options are?
Commissioner Fish, I would believe we can do the analysis in the next couple of weeks.
And is that the only other category that we know of that's not currently identified in this resolution where there could be a direct or indirect impact of the 15?
As of, yeah.
I think there's Clean and Safe and Portland Mall Management, both of which are assessment districts administered by a third party that might or might not be subject to our fair wage policy.
Correct. And so that's a piece we're going to have to do with some additional analysis.
I just want to be clear. We're identifying categories of employees that may benefit from this action, but we're not, by this action, you're not asking us to resolve the question of how those wage increases are funded.
So
how? Right.
No, right. Not, so yeah. So what I'm going to be doing next is to.
But today, you're not asking us today
right.
to decide that question.
Right.
You're going to come back to us and report. Who are these other employees
correct.
That may benefit from an increase, a bump in our fair wage policy, and then pursuant to those agreements, who pays for that?
Correct. Based on the agreement.
Okay.
Good. So, Mayor, I have some amendments
okay.
to introduce. First, to delete the paragraph that starts, whereas the Portland City Council recognizes the unique nature of seasonal employees and directs OMF and the Bureau of Human Resources to develop a project work plan. I'd like to delete that because I can't wait for 18 months before getting working on this. So instead, I'd volunteer to lead that work and substitute, be it further resolved, that the Council directs the Parks Commissioner to create a task force with members appointed by the Mayor and each Commissioner to assess seasonal, recreational, and apprenticeship work with the appropriate compensation. The task force shall complete its work so that Council can consider appropriate compensation in the 2016 to 2017 budget process. That's my first amendment.
Okay, you want to take these
separately? I'm going to take
separately?
It separately, yeah.
Okay, so you're moving that amendment. I'll second that.
Thank you.
Further discussion about that amendment?
I have some questions, so let's put them all on the table.
Okay,
first.
Let's put them all on the table, then we can take action on them.
The second one is to clarify that the proposal on the table today, as I've understood it from talking with the mayor, is for full-time workers in both the city and in our formal contracts. So to clarify that in the now therefore be it resolved, the first one, Portland City Council directs the Office of Management and Finance to amend the City of Portland's fair wage policy so, and then insert full-time employees performing work under formal service contracts entered into the city receive $15 per hour.
All right, you're moving that. I'll second that.
Thank you. Third amendment is to specify that this additional money that the taxpayers will be paying for the purpose of paying our good contract employees $15 an hour is to get to the employees intact, and that we will not be paying additional overhead to the when we renegotiate the contracts with G4S and other community partners that are employers for these folks, that there will not be any additional work for G4S and others. So all of the money goes directly to the workers, and we should not be paying any more additional overhead. So the third amendment is to add, be it further resolved that additional compensation will not result in additional overhead charges by the contractor with existing contracts.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay.
And then the final one, it's the final one that you have written down, then I have another one. We just found out about this, the wording of this resolution last week, and so I apologize that we haven't had it, all of these out for public review before now. It's again to specify that we're talking about City of Portland workers in full-time budgeted positions, so that be it further resolved that BHR will make certain all City of Portland employees in full-time budgeted positions that are in the classified service will be a minimum paid at $15 per hour.
Let's make sure.
Second to that?
Second.
Okay.
So they're all on the table for discussion?
Yes. So where would you like to start?
Anna looks like she wants to offer some guidance first, and I have some questions of the sponsor.
Thank you, Commissioner. Just one comment on the full-time designation for the city employees. For the hourly wage for the employees in budgeted positions, which is our regular employees in the classified service, their wage rate doesn't depend on whether they're working full-time or part-time. Those wage rates are set either through a non-represented pay range or through pay set in collective bargaining agreements. And so whether somebody works part-time or full-time, their hourly wage would be the same. So the full-time designation doesn't work very well for the regular city employees.
Are there any regular city employees that work part-time in budgeted positions that make less than $15 an hour?
I don't know that. Probably not, but that's pretty much a guess. We haven't gone to look at the individual employee schedules. But we do have part-time employees in regular budgeted positions, and they make the same hourly wage. Of course, their annual salary is less because they're not working full-time.
But given the questions that have already been raised, and I'm sure there'll be others coming up in testimony, perhaps we won't be voting on this resolution today. We might be able to put that off. But I, as I say, was making these amendments without the benefit of having to talk, being able to talk with you. The intent, Commissioner Fish, is that we're fair in to all of our part-time employees. And I prefer the term part-time rather than seasonal or casual, because as Sarah mentioned, many of our employees work year-round, and they're not casual or seasonal at all. They just are only allowed to work 1,200 hours. So we need to find, that's why I've been using the term part-time.
Wearing the hat I used to wear doing labor and employment law, one of the questions I would have is, is the language we're using in this consistent with how we use it in all of our all of our personnel matters, so that we all are clear what we're talking about? Perhaps we can flesh that out. I have a question to the sponsor about the First Amendment. Not the First Amendment. Your first...
that First Amendment.
This First Amendment.
I have the right to speak, sir.
Your First Amendment. And that has to do with be it further resolved. And I have two comments. The way this is structured is that the Parks Commissioner would be responsible for doing this task force and reporting to council. And so let me pose two considerations. The first is, you have eloquently made the case that this is a citywide concern. This is not just a parks concern. I think sometimes this debate points out the limitations of a commission-style form of government. I mean, we should all be concerned about this issue, not just the person charged today with being commissioner in charge. So to say that it's your responsibility to do it strikes me as somewhat inconsistent with the way we treat citywide issues when they normally come up. That's number one. And number two, the last time I checked the charter, the mayor decides who's the parks commissioner. And so while you are the parks commissioner today, there's no guarantee you'll be the parks commissioner tomorrow. So in light of that, do you think in a perfect world it's better to have this function and this responsibility? And I support the amendment, the thrust of the amendment. But do you think it strengthens or weakens your hand or our hand to have it placed in OMF or BHR and viewed citywide, or delegated to a single commissioner who will serve at the pleasure of the mayor?
Thank you for the question. We could substitute Commissioner Fritz for the Parks Commissioner if you'd prefer to. Frankly, we're in the middle of implementing a bond measure, so it would be difficult for anyway, that's a separate issue. I volunteered because I am committed to getting this done. The vast majority of the workers are in parks. There's 2,000 or more part-time workers in parks. And I've demonstrated both with the task force on sick time and the task force that we just did on demolitions that I can get a public process done and get to a result in a short time frame, which is what we have between now and the next budget cycle. So I know I'm committing to it because I know I can get it done.
So, yeah, refresh my memory and help to clarify the effect of this. Are there, I'm not sure what you meant by apprenticeship work, so we don't want to tease that one out in particular, but are there seasonal or you meant seasonal and or recreational and or apprenticeship, right? It's not all, it don't have to be all three. You don't have to be seasonal and recreational and an apprentice.
Yes.
You meant any of those things.
Right.
Do we have seasonal employees in other bureaus? I think we do in maintenance, right?
We do. And so the obviously Commissioner Novick, or as the amendment says, each commissioner would appoint people to be on this task force. So if you have bureaus.
Okay. So you volunteered to lead it, but you want people from other bureaus.
Oh, absolutely. It's okay. Essential.
Okay. And then apprenticeship obviously is running across multiple bureaus.
Yes, and that's a recognition that some of our city jobs, and indeed some jobs in our community, really are starter jobs. They are learning jobs. They are truly seasonal aquatics instructors in parks who, in their college summers, come back. They may come back 3 or 4 years because they love working for parks, but they're not supporting a family, and they're not intending to make a career out of being a summer parks aquatics instructor. And it's important for us to continue to have some jobs that are truly starter jobs, and that people who want a full-time job to raise a family are not going to want to hone in on those jobs. So that was, and this was actually suggested by Felisa Hagen of SEIU, that to use that term apprenticeship, that's what we should, we in parks look upon many of our programs as starter jobs. We're the greatest employer of youth in our city. And we have a lot of programs within parks that are really not intended to be $15 an hour jobs.
Right,
So, but that the task force would look at which are appropriate for that and which actually are more like part-time employees, which are more like seasonal employees.
So is it because this potentially raises collective bargaining issues, legal issues, and classification issues, and we are, after all, doing a class comp, we've been pressing to do the pay equity piece, so there's a lot of pieces. I want to make sure, I have great confidence in Commissioner Fritz's ability to lead this effort because I've seen her lead the other two task force to success. What I want to make sure we avoid, however, is reinforcing a siloed look at this so that we're not looking at it system-wide. And it seems to me for this to work, there'd have to be a commitment from legal, HR, and our labor team to be task force participants so that we're looking out at, for all the citywide issues. And also we need the independent budget office since the premise of this work is a recommendation that comes to council that we can fund. And so we have to figure out how we fund it. So I applaud Commissioner Fritz for taking this on top of everything else she's got. I want to make sure that the, because I believe this is a citywide concern, that we structure it in such a way that you get the citywide staffing and support you need if, in fact, it's going to be housed in your office.
Thank you, Commissioner. I know Anna Kamet has
Anna, it looks like she might have a reaction. So.
No, I mean, obviously we're very happy to participate in this. It's, you know, it's a matter of a workload issue if we're taking the lead on it. And I agree with you, it would, you know, HR and city attorneys, et cetera, obviously would be involved in this. Just one comment, and it may be to just forestall some other things people may say. For the city, we have some apprenticeship programs, but they are BOLI approved through some of our unions. So that is, that's a unique term that we use for a, you know, a, what I would consider sort of a genuine apprenticeship program for some of our trades. The other thing, I think, as you alluded to, Commissioner Fritz, we do have some other training programs. For example, the program in the Fire Bureau, which is also intended to bring in people who are economically disadvantaged that can't afford to get you know, the EMS certificates they need to become a firefighter. And it's a, intentionally a training program that is a lower wage rate but leads to be a regular firefighter. So we have some programs like that that I think are similar to the ones you've mentioned where they're intentionally a different kind of program where we're looking to create career pathways, but entry-level positions for people, you know, really coming out of high school that don't need a college degree or even a community college degree to do some of these jobs.
Andrew, can I add one other consideration? Because it looks like we're heading in the right direction here, but I want to make sure that the process is set up to succeed. So when the mayor was elected, he set up some specific task forces to look at issues. Commissioner Novick and I looked at span of control. Now, when those were launched, we had a lot of other people around the table helping us, including we had a full-time staff person from your office guiding the process. We had input from HR, legal, because the issues were complicated. And we also had a budget, which allowed us to get consulting services because there were some technical issues. So I want to make sure that if Commissioner Fritz is taking the lead on something that's a citywide effort, that she has the resources, both staff and budget, to get the job done, and that it's not be seen as just another thing that her office takes on, because I think that would be unfair.
Thank you.
Yeah, I certainly agree with that, and obviously the folks that report to me through OMF need to be made available to this process, and I'll make sure that folks like Anna, who have a very direct stake in HR policy, need to be involved. Do any of you have any concerns about the language of the amendments that we have in front of us? In other words, do we have the right words on the page for the policy intention that Commissioner Fritz has articulated here?
I have a change.
Returning here. Question. Well, returning to the question of full time, do we mean in the fourth item? Do we mean to include the words full time?
Well, perhaps we could. I don't. I hope we're not going to vote on this today because there's
right.
a lot of.
So but maybe we ought to. We ought to at least adopt the amendments with an understanding that we might do more wordsmithing later.
Yes.
But I want to make sure for the moment, for the sake of the community discussion that we're about to start here, that we at least know what we're proposing.
I heard the concern about. Yeah, I think we understand that we're at least I think we should vote on the amendments to put them on the table, because I'd like to be really clear that we are talking about full-time positions both in the contracts and in the city.
Is that all right with you to have it stated that way for now?
Yeah, I think that's fine. I think we can address the actual wage rate issue. We've been using terms interchangeably, full-time, budgeted positions, and we tend to use them the same, even though technically you can have a part-time person in what's considered a full-time budgeted position.
I see.
So it's, I think generally we mean the same thing, and would have time to make sure that the wording is more accurate.
Anna?
Yeah.
Commissioner Fritz has trained me to scrub the details in these things. So if we are going to make the language changes in the Second and Fourth Amendment, which inserts the full-time, do they have a fiscal impact?
I can't speak to the contracting. That shouldn't have a fiscal impact.
Sorry?
It should not have a fiscal impact when we're talking about city employees. Because, again, the wage rate should be uniform regardless of someone's work schedule. It's really driven by the position that they're in, not their work schedule.
As a
practical matter, the way we costed it assuming that that people in these positions are working full-time. We don't know whether they are or not, but the costing takes that into effect, so we haven't undercosted that.
Commissioner Fritz, since we don't have the benefit of a public involvement sheet on these, is it your sense that the insertion of full-time in those two paragraphs has a fiscal impact?
Yes, I think it probably would reduce the fiscal impact.
Reduce it?
Yes.
Okay.
By restricting it to full-time?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
So any further discussion? Because we should...
Actually, Mr. Mayor, I did want to put on the table, informally or formally, sort of an alternative task force amendment that was suggested by Laborers 43 that sort of gets at the same issues, and it may sort of address Commissioner Fish's issue. I just wanted to mention the language that they suggested, which is, be it further resolved, the council will create the contingent worker task force to review and analyze the definition of casual and other types of appointments written in HRAR 3.03 with an eye towards equity and fairness by September 1st, 2015. The task force will make recommendations at a council work session to clarify the definition of casual workers and limit the use of the casual category of employment. It's my understanding now that laborers would be okay with the slightly different timeline that Commissioner Fritz suggested, but they still would like to have language like this about taking a look at the definition of casual.
Yeah, well, I my sense is that's encompassed by what we have in front of us here, and that this timeline is a little more realistic, I think.
Okay. Even I can't do it by September.
my feeling is this accomplishes that purpose. I'm not sure what a contingent worker is. I know what a part-time worker is. So,
I think that part of their goal was to take a look at the definition of casual with an eye towards possibly changing it.
That's the intent of my resolution. The task force would definitely do that.
Okay.
So I think we have the legislative history. Colleagues, since we have four amendments, Mayor, I would propose we just adopt them as a package.
Yeah, I'm comfortable with that. I don't personally have any reason to pull them apart because I support all four. So anybody have any difference with that? So we'll take that as a single motion to adopt the amendments in front of us, and that therefore we'll conduct a public hearing on the ordinance as amended. So roll call on that, please.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Commissioner Fish, I have to note that I just checked the Vegas odds, and Commissioner Fritz is a 1 to 40,000 favorite to be Parks Commissioner tomorrow. Aye.
Hales?
I think I can improve those odds. She'll be Parks Commissioner tomorrow.
Aye. And Mayor, has just one final comment. With these amendments, we've clarified that we're talking about essentially full-time positions. There is still the major problem raised by Sarah and others about our part-time workers, our seasonal workers, casual workers. So I'm going to be proposing an amendment to the budget that Parks submitted. I wasn't aware that there was a willingness on the mayor's part to look at increased compensation to our city workers. And so the way the budget direction came to Parks was, and to other bureaus, if we wanted to propose new ongoing money, we had to propose cuts elsewhere in our own budgets. And the Parks Budget Advisory Committee decided that we had a couple of those that we just have to do, but that by and large we were not going to propose new ongoing money. And now that we're done with complying with your instructions on that, I'm going to be adding, sorry, Andrew is shuddering. I'm going to be adding a proposal to raise the seasonal maintenance workers who are covered by Laborers 483 to get $15 per hour starting in their second year of employment. And that will be a request that will be considered during the budget along with all of our other requests. But I wanted to announce that because I, for one, am not thinking if we adopt this that we're done with the whole discussion. We already have some requests in the park budget to change 489's seasonal rangers to full-time rangers, and we have a request to change some of the maintenance workers to full-time workers. In addition to that, I think until we can right-size the workforce in parks and other bureaus that rely on temporary workers to actually do full-time work, I believe we need to make a down payment on that. So, but I do believe that that should be part of the weighing and balancing in the budget process rather than an amendment that I'm going to put on the table today.
Okay, good. And please obviously get that proposal to me soon. And Andrew and I and his team are going to be spending way too much time together over the next several months, way too much time together from their standpoint. But I think what I'm trying to do in the mayor's proposed budget this year is capture what I believe is council intent to, again, start with this and then start making steady progress. And we don't have to wait for next year to start making progress. So we'll see how much progress we can make this year against the larger agenda of fair compensation for all employees and addressing the really gnarly issues that are involved in parks, because Parks Bureau is a strange animal from that standpoint, and that most of the rest of our workforce are full-time employees in roughly 40-hour shifts. Parks is all over the map because of the nature of the work. So you've got, you know, you have to pick that apart. That's why it's appropriate for you to lead this work on the council's behalf. It affects other bureaus, but it doesn't affect any other bureau as much as it affects parks.
Thank you.
Okay, are we squared away? So we'll be calling on each of you, obviously, a lot. There's some answers we probably need more quickly than others, like the impact on those two contracts for Clean and Safe and PMMI before we take final action on the resolution. Okay, now with that, let's take public testimony.
Okay, we have 32 people signed up.
Okay.
Okay. Did you want to take people with children disabilities first? Okay. If we have anybody who has special needs to come up or needs to leave early due to children or...
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. I have a lot of special needs.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
My name is Russell Anderson. I represent,
She's going to give you a special mic. There you go.
I represent BSHC, which is Baker's Conjun Holdings Corporation, and I'm the public representative for the company in the near future. And I would like to put our name down for support for 15 and beyond. We're looking at maybe $30 an hour in the near future for the bigger companies. So we just want to put our name down as support.
Good.
For 15. Because myself and everybody in here needs 15 just to make ends meet. We're all struggling. The handicapped struggling, and I'm here to say that we're out there. You just need to come to us and say, we support you. Go for your $15 an hour job. And don't stop, don't step in our way, because we're going to run right over you.
Good. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thanks very much. Thanks.
Walsh. My name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice. Very quickly, I would just like to congratulate all of you for tackling this. It's complicated. You have a lot to think about. And I congratulate all of you for trying. And that's basically what we ask of you, to try. And if you succeed, we will cheer you. If you fail, we will cheer you for trying. And you're trying, and $15 an hour is not the maximum people should be paid. It's the compromise. The maximum is about $22 an hour, a legitimate wage. $15 an hour is a compromise. So think of it in those terms, and don't try to make the sausage over and over and over again. Just say, we want the sausage, and work from there. That's what you were doing a little while ago. You were getting into so much nitty-gritty that I got nervous that you would not be able to do this. And don't lose the opportunity to send a message to all the other cities around the country that Portland pays its citizens well. And we pay them a living wage. That's something to be really proud of. So I congratulate you again. We'll fight again tomorrow. But today, I congratulate you and thank you.
Thank you, Joe. Thanks for that. Very nice. Thank you. Okay. Next folks. Okay,
so we'll take four at a time. The next people are Dana Cartenson, Scott Gibson, Eric Dash, and John Talbot. And they'll be followed by Linda Sponer, Father Jack Mossdrucker, Joe Rastatler, and Icarus Jacoby Smith.
Good afternoon. Welcome. Go first. Who's first? Go ahead.
Good afternoon. My name is Dana Carstensen, and I'm a union representative of Labor's Local 483. Approximately 1,800 workers at the City of Portland earn less than $15 an hour and wouldn't benefit from a resolution that only applies to full-time budgeted positions. This is after your resolutions, of course. Instead, these workers are casual, quote-unquote, workers limited to 1,200 hours per year without benefits, and they are defined by the city's HR as positions that occur, terminate, and recur periodically or regularly. At 7.5 months of the year, these employees can work 40 hours a week without benefits or the security of a stable employment. At 12 months of the year, it's about 23 hours a week without benefits or stability. Local 483 believes that the mayor's commitment to a living wage of $15 an hour with full-time employees is admirable, but to truly be a living wage resolution, it must impact all workers. These workers are the hearts and faces of the city of Portland. They're in all the communities, and they're part of the communities. Even though these 1,800 are primarily employed by the Bureau of Parks and Rec, it's the responsibility of all to tackle this issue. Today, we and the commissioners have an opportunity to do the right thing. In addition to the mayor's proposal, $15 an hour for full-time budgeted city workers, it should create a contingent workers task force beginning July 1st, 2015 of the new budget cycle to recommend a process for converting casual positions to permanent positions and a commitment to true net neutrality during a democratic during a democratic union organizing, which includes no costly obstructionist activities from all departments, including HR and legal. 483 suggests these following things for the task force. Review and analyze the definition of casual and other types of appointments written by HRAR 3.03, and by September 2015, make recommendations to the definitions that ensure casual workers is truly casual. Using the city audit for numbers, hours, and lengths of service and casual workers, make recommendations to limit the use of casual category of employment. But November 2015, recommend a timeline and process for converting full-time casual positions to permanent budget employment. By November 2015, recommend a timeline and process for converting part-time casual positions to permanent budget employment. Finally, ensure equitable and fair standards for truly casual and temporary workers. In closing, these workers and public servants deserve better, and we have an opportunity to create a better future for not only them, but ourselves and our communities, both of whom benefit greatly from the hard work and dedication from these workers. They deserve a fair shot. And I would also like to say 483 is in support of those amendments. So congrats.
Great. Thank you very much. Thanks. Who's next? PowerPoint slides there.
I'm going to be showing a short video. Is my
okay?
My